Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on the 16th day of November 2020. And we apologize for starting the broadcast late today. We had some technical difficulties since my guest is calling from Budapest, Hungary. So we got things straightened out, and I'm glad that it wasn't longer a wait time to start the show than it was. But before I introduce my guest, I have an urgent prayer request. I just found out this morning that a very dear friend of mine, who those who have listened to my show when it goes back all the way to 2005, when I was broadcasting out of two local Long Island, New York radio stations on Long Island, WNYG and WGBB, you may remember the name Meint Plogman, that's M-E-I-N-T, P as in Peter, L-O-E-G-M-A-N, Meint Plogman, who is the pastor of the Orthodox Presbyterian Church of Bohemia, Long Island, New York. Well, he was a frequent guest and co-host on the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program, a dear friend of mine spanning decades. I just found out this morning that he fell off a ladder on Sunday morning, while he was cleaning leaves out of his church gutter. He fell 10 feet and is in very critical condition, and even apparently, according to doctors, even if he survives this horrible accident, he will likely have very serious brain damage. So I would appreciate you praying for Meint, praying for a miracle in his healing. Yes, we Reformed people still believe in miracles at the hand of a sovereign God who heals when he deems fit according to his plan and his purposes. And so pray for a miracle, and also pray for the family, the Plugman family, and I intend to keep you updated. But my guest today is somebody that I've been waiting to have back on the program for quite some time. His name is Dr. Ashley Null, and some of my listeners may remember Dr. Null's interviews on the great English reformer Thomas Cranmer. Dr. Null is considered one of the foremost scholars on the life, teaching, and legacy of Thomas Cranmer. And I always have enjoyed having this brother on the program as my guest. And he is going to be addressing today his latest audiobook, Performance Identity, The Folly of Striving to Earn God's Favor. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back after an absence from our program that has gone on far too long, as far as I'm concerned. Welcome back, Dr. Ashley Null.
Thank you. It's good to be back. If I remember correctly, it was 2007 was the last time I was on.
Wow. That blows my mind, and it may have been even with my dear friend, Pastor Jacob Smith, who is the rector of the historical St. George's Episcopal Church in New York City, which is still a biblically faithful congregation, adhering to not only, and most importantly, the scriptures, but also the 39 articles of religion, which is a faithful confessional statement summarizing those inerrant scriptures. And by the way, Reverend Jacob Smith sends his greetings to you. He was disappointed that he couldn't be a part of the program today because he already had a previous engagement. I also have greetings being sent to you by a mutual friend of ours, Dr. Joel Beakey, who is the president of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan, who really thoroughly enjoyed his time with you in Egypt, and he wanted to make sure that I extended my greetings to you. Also, I'm not even sure you know this, brother, but he is quite aware of you, my dear friend, Reverend Roger Salter, who is the rector at St. Matthew's Anglican Church in Birmingham, Alabama, who said, when hearing about our interview, this is a must for me, Chris. Dr. Ashley Null is the best Anglican voice in America. I love it. I love his Cranmer's Doctrine of Repentance. So that was from my dear friend, Roger Salter.
I was actually born in Birmingham, Alabama, so
wow,
that's a nice connection. And I'm at a loss for words, which is not often, to describe the deep gratitude that we at the Alexandria School of Theology in Cairo and Alexandria, Egypt, have for the partnership that we have with Puritan and Reformed. They have been most generous and most helpful in sharing their wisdom and their resources with us and helping us grow as a seminary. And, of course, Jacob Smith is a dear and old friend, and he has such a historic parish for evangelical mission in America and the world. And Jacob is an able successor to that tradition.
Amen. And by the way, there have been plenty of others who have been letting me know of their delight that you have joined us today from varying Anglican communions, both inside the official Church of England and out, and those within the Episcopal Church of the United States who have remained faithful to the Scriptures, the minority of brave souls that have stood steadfast and unwavering in their commitment to the Scriptures and the 39 Articles. Many send their greetings to you as well. Well, this is obviously something that is a key issue that separates biblical Christianity from not only the Church of Rome, but also every cult and false religion, even those that would identify themselves as Christian and yet believe we have to earn God's favor and merit his favor in order to enjoy heaven with him or whatever afterlife this group may teach exists. And the audiobook that you have created, Performance Identity, The Folly of Striving to Earn God's Favor. It is quite interesting that you used the term performance because you have been quite heavily involved in athletics in the world of sports, especially in the unprofessional realm, for quite a long time, have you not?
My first Olympic Games as a chaplain was way back in 1984 in LA.
Wow. Well, praise God for that. Well, tell us, what was it that led you to create this audiobook? Because obviously there are other things that have been written for centuries by the reformers themselves, by those that followed them, and leading up to our present day in the 21st century, we have many very well-known and fine heroes of the faith who have written against not only the folly of striving to earn God's favor, but the heresy of believing you can. What was it that compelled you to create this audiobook?
Well, Chris, every time I go into a Christian bookstore, I always wonder why I want to contribute to the destruction of the rainforests. And I am not so confident or arrogant to assume that something that I have done is going to in some way add to the collective wisdom of centuries of the Holy Spirit working to capture the culture of the current day's attention to its idolatries and to free the good news of Scripture afresh to a new generation. But I was giving a parish retreat weekend on this topic because personally I think it is crucial for the future of the church in our generation, and I'd be happy to elaborate on that. But I was giving a retreat on this topic, and the editor, the publisher-in-chief of Anglican House Publishers, was in the congregation, and he said, you know, this is an important message. We need to get it out, and it needs to be in the form that you're doing here, telling people about it. So he convinced me, and it didn't take much arm twisting to be asked to record an audiobook. But because of that and because of their vision and trust in the material, here we are.
Well, I'm going to give our listeners our email address, and you could join us on the air with a question of your own for Dr. Ashley Null. The email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. And please, as always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Let's say you are in a very strong disagreement with your own pastor or minister over this issue. You may be in one of those religions I mentioned earlier that teaches that we must strive to earn God's favor. We must perform adequately for God in order to merit heaven, even if it's just in part. Perhaps you're a member of one of those groups and you don't want to identify who you are at this point, or whatever the reason that would compel you to remain anonymous. If it's personal and private, you may feel free to do so, but we ask you, please, if it's just a general question on theology on this issue, give us your first name at least, your city and state and country of residence. And the email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. Now, in your experience, what are some of the major ways that Christians, perhaps they're even Christians, who have even been raised in biblically sound churches, they have churches with creeds and confessions that are not aberrant or heretical or cultic. They have been taught from the pulpit and from Sunday school and Bible studies and just from interaction with other Christians the truth that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, and yet they are still hung up with a false notion of performance identity and striving to earn God's favor. What is the most common way that you've witnessed this taking place in Christendom?
Well, in American culture, everything emphasizes your worth and value based on your performance. It is both a great strength and a great weakness of our country. I always joke that in 19th century England, if anyone had get up and go, they got up and went. They had to go to the colony because the social hierarchy was so structured that effort innovation, achievement, hard work was not rewarded. You inherited your position, and that was it. America developed as a rejection of that, that everyone should be free to have the opportunity to shape their own destiny. But the dark side of that, if you can be someone, anything, you can achieve anything in America if you try hard enough. If you don't achieve something, then what worth or value do you have? And that pervades all of our cultural assumptions. It's particularly seen in the world of elite sports, but it seeps into the church. May I give you an example from sport and then show how it seeps into the church?
Amen, yes.
I don't know. Do you have any sporting background yourself, Chris?
Other than playing with friends in the street and so on, I was never a high school or college athlete as far as being on an actual team. Just played with your friends in the street and so on, and watching sporting events, but no official sporting background.
Well, if we had a listener, and I asked, so if you're on your high school football team and you blow it, you drop a crucial pass, you miss a block, you lose, how are you supposed to feel?
Well, you're supposed to feel like you failed.
Exactly. You're supposed to hate yourself until you go out and prove that you're not a loser by winning the next time. And if you haven't learned to internalize this self-hatred and failure, what has the old-fashioned world of sport given you? That's right, a coach to make you feel like a loser.
I'm sure there are many coaches out there that would disagree that that was their role, but I know what you're saying. I mean, it's obvious that that is a phenomenon that exists.
Enough, that old school coaching is really falling out of favor because today's young people don't have the social, the emotional resilience to cope with it. But now let's think about this. So if you're an athlete, your response to failure is self-hatred and the coach is to intensify it. Why would the coach intensify it? Is he just mean? What in his mind is the purpose of me, of shaming you into feeling bad when you lose?
Well, he thinks that that is going to achieve a change in the individual whom he is shaming. And of course, there could be ulterior motives of keeping your job as the coach and all kinds of things.
That hasn't. But what he or she thinks is that I'm helping you, that if I shame you and I make losing so emotionally painful, you will do everything in your power not to feel this way again. I'm going to motivate you to change and get better through shame.
Just like a stereotypical drill sergeant.
Yeah, yeah. Or how about in the church? When I sin, how am I supposed to feel about myself? How do I show my intensity of love for following Jesus when I sin?
I think that we are to always, obviously, feel deep remorse if we are truly one of God's people, one of His children, one of His elect. The Holy Spirit will be grieved, and we will feel the urge and the desire to repent and please God. And seek His enablement to change our ways, because we very often feel like we have reached the end of our rope and are totally and utterly helpless in that achievement.
Chris, there are two kinds of guilt. There's good guilt and there's bad guilt. There's authentic guilt and there's manipulative guilt. there is conviction and condemnation. The Bible tells us, Romans 8:1 tells us, that therefore there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. It doesn't say that we don't sin and we won't have conviction, but we will experience condemnation. What's the difference? Condemnation is what the devil says. Look at what you've done. You have no worth. Until you get on the performance wheel and prove that you are not like that, that you're better than that. Conviction is the Holy Spirit whispering to you, look at what you've done. Look at the worth I have given you. Let me help you live into your worth. Let me help you live into my love. When you realize that you have offended, one can't say wounded, but disappointed the God who loves you so much, that is painful. But it never questions your worth. It doesn't say you have to do so many penances to make up for this. It says the promise of how one takes care of sin by bringing it to the cross. The condemnation says you have proved faithless. Prove how faithful you are. And when can you speak to the coach when you've blown it? Not until you've proved yourself a winner on the field. And when we have the condemnation mentality, the manipulative guilt, we draw away from God. We're like Adam and Eve. We hide because we are ashamed. And what's the first thing Adam and Eve do once they realize they have disobeyed?
They covered themselves up.
They use their gifts and talents to try to make up for it. What's the first shedding of blood in Scripture?
When God clothed Adam and Eve with skins.
Right. The blood of Jesus is the only thing that will make up for our shortcomings, not our gifts and talents. But that is the old inclination. That's the lie of the enemy. You have disappointed God. Prove to him that you're different. Prove to him that you're not that sinner. And of course, you can't go back to him until you have shown how you are not like that. And what's your success rate at changing for God apart from God?
And this is a perfect time, so I don't have to interrupt you mid-sentence. We have to go to our first station break right now. And once again, if anybody wants to ask a question of your own to Dr. Ashley Null, perhaps some of you are really depressed, perhaps even to the point of having tragically suicidal thoughts, or even if it's not that severe, you find yourself just aching with misery because you have committed sin. You have committed sin that's perhaps scandalous. You have committed sin that has caused your own family and your closest friends, and perhaps your employers and your colleagues, perhaps your pastor in your church, or the leader of the religion that you're in, and the members of that religion, to turn their backs on you, to abandon you. Well, please feel free to send in a question to Dr. Null. And obviously, with all those scenarios that I mentioned, those would be obvious reasons why you might want to remain anonymous. But even if it's just a general theological question, send in your question to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com, and as always, please give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And don't go away. We'll be right back with Dr. Ashley Null on performance identity.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself. Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, professor of apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I have been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you've just tuned in, our guest today for the entire program is Dr. Ashley Null, and he is a world-renowned Anglican scholar, perhaps especially on the life, teaching, and legacy of the great English reformer Thomas Cranmer. He is considered one of the foremost scholars in that area, and we are discussing a new audiobook that he has available through Anglican House Publishers. And I'm hoping that many of our listeners will take advantage of this resource. Performance Identity, The Folly of Striving to Earn God's Favor. And if you could, pick up where we left off. We do have quite a number of listeners waiting to ask their questions and have you answer them via email. Obviously, you'll be audibly answering them, but their questions are coming in via email. We no longer have a call-in show like we used to when you were a guest out of the Long Island, New York radio stations. But if you could, pick up where you left off before we take some of our listener calls.
I think the key thing is to recognize that we have a generation of young people who have not experienced the unconditional love of the and security that comes from an intact family. And when you don't have love that gives you a sense of worth and value. You, as you live in American culture, you instinctively set out to earn it, to attract people's attention, to get noticed, to prove that you're worth people investing in. And when the church preaches a traditional message of sin, that actually tells them what they're afraid is actually true about them, and they run out the door. We need to recapture the sense that before we can talk about people's sin, we have to communicate first that they are loved. And that love is based on what Christ did for them, not on what they feel they may have to do for Christ to be worthy of that love. That was the brilliance of Cranmer's comfortable words. His first comfortable word is, "Come unto me, all ye that travail and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you." Chris, does he mention hell there?
No.
Sin?
No.
Judgment?
Nope.
Where does he begin? Felt human need. In the words of the Matrix, a restlessness, a sense that things aren't right, a weariness with life, a burdensomeness of not understanding what's going on. The first place we begin is where people are, looking to be rescued. His second comfortable word, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that all that believe in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Does he explicitly mention sin?
Not in that text, no.
Does he explicitly mention hell?
Nope.
What's he talk about?
Well, he did hint at hell, obviously, because he said, "will not perish." But he's mainly focusing on the gift of his Son and the offer of eternal life for those who believe in that Son.
Well, the next two verses, Jesus makes clear, "I do not come into the world to condemn it, because it already stands condemned."
Right.
"I come into the world to love it, that it might be saved." So, if the first comfortable word is human longing to be rescued, the second comfortable word is it's God's nature to long to rescue.
And what? Go ahead, I'm sorry.
The third comfortable word. "This is a true saying and worthy of all men to be received, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners." Okay, now we've got the traditional language of sin. And being saved means being saved from damnation and from hell. Now that we know God longs to rescue us because that's who he is, we can have the courage to face that our restlessness is actually connected to our sin that's cut us off from God, cut us off from each other, and cut us off from our true selves. Do you realize that people can only face their faults when they think the person telling them still values them? And then, if salvation looks like, from a human perspective, Jesus coming to rescue us from our sins, which we cannot rescue ourselves from, what does salvation look like from God's point of view? The fourth and last comfortable word. "If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins." That Jesus comes not as our judge this time, but as our advocate, as our lawyer, our defense lawyer. But what's the cost of Jesus being able to defend us? It's his own death in our place. And that sacrificial love gives us a worth and value that will not go away. And Cranmer is committed to the notion that once we understand the love that is seeking us, that that love will draw out of us a loving response in obedience. And that we need to understand that our capacity to love God can only come from first understanding how much He loves us. And as long as we're listening to American culture and trying to earn love, we won't have the capacity to love, and we will only end up in despair and further sin. And if we, so often we say we're saved by grace, but we act like we're sustained by sweat. And young people, because they fear they can't do the sweat, they quote want to be authentic by staying away. And we have to assure them that they don't have to earn God's love, and that God, His love is powerful enough not only to save them, but to begin to change their affections, to change what they love, to begin to make them more like Him, and that in Him they can find the power to be more of the people they want. And when they're not, they don't have to torment themselves with shame. That when conviction comes, they can go to the cross, and when condemnation comes, they can call the devil a liar.
Now, one of the most powerful texts or series of texts in the scriptures is in Luke chapter 7, and I'd like to read the whole chapter, but I don't have time. I'd like to start with verse 44 because of time limitations. Turning toward the woman, and the woman in this context is the very well-known woman that even non-Christians who have enough of a cursory knowledge of the Bible may have heard of this woman. She is the woman who washed Jesus' feet with her tears and dried them with her hair and anointed them with very expensive perfume. And the text says, turning toward the woman, he, Jesus, said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but she has, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason, I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven, for she loved much, but he who is forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins have been forgiven." One of the things, I don't want people to get the wrong idea from some of the things that you said, and I am very confident you would agree with me wholeheartedly, that in modern evangelicalism, some of the most thriving ministries, numerically, not thriving in a good way, I don't believe, have removed purposely the concepts of sin and the threat of hell from their vocabulary, from their sermons, from their books. And this has become a very popular Christianity, which does nothing but salve the consciences of people and makes them feel very comfortable living an unrepentant life, where we see a woman loving Jesus much because she has been forgiven much. And don't you agree that until we know the depths of our sinfulness, and of course, having limited minds, we will never truly know the depths of our own sinfulness, but getting an idea of how deep and depraved we are motivates us to even be more grateful and even celebrate more and rejoice more in our salvation because we know what we have been saved from. Is that not true?
Of course it's true. I mean, Chris, if you have cancer, and I tell you how glad I am to be with you, and I don't treat the cancer, that's not loving, is it?
Absolutely not.
I mean, this is one of the things I try to always explain. Free forgiveness doesn't remove consequences. Should an elite athlete use bad judgment and make someone pregnant or get pregnant, can God forgive that sin in an instant?
Yes, of course.
Absolutely. Does that person need to get forgiveness to restore their relationship with God and have peace in their heart? Absolutely. Does that take away the consequences?
No.
Does the baby go away?
No.
There is no perfect solution to that situation, is there?
Only in Christ.
It's completely not on the table. But a teenage couple getting married, that's a hard road to hoe. Giving the baby up for adoption, that's a hard road to hoe. Raising the child as a single parent, that's a hard road to hoe. Now, God will redeem all of that. That's what he's good at. He redeems our messes. But isn't it better not to have to go through that?
Yes, of course.
The cheap grace, the difficulty with that is that people don't understand that sin is destructive. Not all suffering comes from sin, but all sin causes suffering. The question is, how in this generation that is so skittish, how do we get them to hear the message that the root of their problems is their rebellion against God and what the Spirit wants to do in their lives? It's pastoral malpractice not to communicate that message. But the question is, how do we get them to sit down long enough to hear it? And therefore, beginning with God's love as the safety net, that it's true you are, as we all are, incredibly miswired. But God has a purpose and a plan. He's not going to leave you like that. And your worth and value isn't based on whether you're good enough today or good enough in 3 years. Chris, have you ever made homemade ice cream?
Never. I've eaten it, but I've never made it.
Do you cook at all?
Not really. I just heat stuff up. I'm a widower, and my wife was a remarkable cook. In fact, I don't think I've ever had better food in a fine 4-star restaurant than the way she cooked, and I just, unfortunately, never really taught myself how to learn to cook.
Well, I'm sorry to hear that you're a widower. There must be a lot of pain and divine comfort mixed up in all of that.
Yes, indeed.
But I grew up in Western Kansas, and making homemade ice cream was something we would do on summer evenings. And to make homemade ice cream, you need milk, you need ice. Sometimes you want to make it, you know, put a little egg in it to make it more French vanilla. Maybe sometimes you put peaches in it. How do you suppose it looks when it's all there in the pail?
Well, it's kind of a mixed up, goopy mess.
But I assure you, you don't give it a second thought, even though it looks kind of gross. You know why?
Why is that?
Because you're going to know, you know what it's going to be like when you're done churning. And one of the miracles of God, of justification by faith, is God can look at us now and love us even though we are a mess, because he knows what his love, churning, working in us in this life and in the next life, finishing perfectly what we're going to be like when he gets done with us, without spot or blemish. Sin is real. That's why Jesus had to die. But with Jesus, sin doesn't get the last word. His love does. And that's the good news.
Praise God for that. I'm going to go to one of our listener questions. And even though these questions, I'm not going to go to all of his questions. I'm sorry, Donald, but you've written quite a number of questions that could fill a week's or month's worth of radio programs. But somebody who is extremely enthusiastic that you're on today, his name is Donald Veach from Jacksonville, North Carolina. I usually don't give the listeners full names to our audience, but in this case, I thought I'd make an exception because he actually operates a Reformed Anglican website called Twiss House, T-W-I-S-S-E. And if any of our Episcopalian and Anglican listeners are truly historic Anglicans, confessional, and truly scriptural Christians, they may want to investigate that. But Donald, his first question, and I'll limit him to two today, and maybe if we have more time later, we'll add some. But how would Dr. Cranmer, meaning Thomas Cranmer, obviously, address today's Church of England, today's Episcopal Church in the USA, today's mainline Protestantism, and today's American evangelicalism?
I think he would, it's always dangerous putting words in the mouth of an historic figure. But I think it's probably a safe bet to say that he would say, do not go to the stinking puddles of men's imaginations and traditions, but return to the well of all life, God's own word. There is where the saving truth is found.
Amen. And in fact, what we're going to do right now, we're going to have you continue to elaborate on your answer for Donald when we come back from our midway break. I didn't want to cut you off mid-sentence because we have to go into the break very quickly. And folks, please be patient with us during this midway break because at the middle of the show, our break is longer by necessity. Our station break is longer by necessity because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break because they are required by the FCC to localize this program to Lake City, Florida. And they do so by airing their own public service announcements and other local things. So while they do that, we air our globally heard commercials. We ask you to use this time wisely by writing down as much of the information as you can from as many of our advertisers as you can, so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize our advertisers. That will obviously make them happy, and if they're happy, they're going to more than likely want to remain our advertisers, which will mean, subsequently, God willing, we will remain on the air for a longer future because we absolutely, positively depend on the finances that come in from our advertisers to exist. Please always remember that. So please write down as much of the information as you can from our advertisers, and also write down questions for Dr. Ashley Null on performance, identity, the folly of striving to earn God's favor, and send those emails to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. God willing, we are going to be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries and the Dividing Line webcast here. Although God has brought me all over the globe for many years to teach, preach, and debate at numerous venues, some of my very fondest memories are from those precious times of fellowship with Pastor Rich Jensen and the brethren at Hope Reformed Baptist Church, now located at their new beautiful facilities in Coram, Long Island, New York. I've had the privilege of opening God's Word from their pulpit on many occasions, have led youth retreats for them, and have always been thrilled to see their members filling many seats at my New York debates. I do not hesitate to highly recommend Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, to anyone who wants to be accurately taught, discipled, and edified by the Holy Scriptures, and to be surrounded by truly loving and caring brothers and sisters in Christ. I also want to congratulate Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Corum for the recent appointment of Pastor Rich Jensen's co-elder, Pastor Christopher McDowell. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Corum, Long Island, that you heard about them from James White on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Chris Arnson, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World Now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World. There's no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at wng.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News,
gforgroup.org/podcast.
Every day at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gotti. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this: I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldeman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402. Or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, please don't forget, ever forget, that solid-ground-books.com is a premier, a vital sponsor of this program. We would likely not exist without their financial help, barring a miracle from God. So please try to make your visits to solid-ground-books.com very frequent, and also make your purchases very generous, because the more you purchase from solid-ground-books.com, the more likely they will remain our advertisers, and that means that we will more than likely have a longer future, because, as I said, we absolutely need their financial support. And also, you're not just going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor when you purchase books from them, and you're not only going to be doing us a huge favor, although you are doing those two things, you're going to be doing yourself an enormous favor, and you're going to be doing anyone for whom you are purchasing gifts from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor, because they carry and publish the finest in Christian literature from the past and the present. And our Anglican listeners today will be very happy to know that they publish or have republished, have brought back into print, several works by Stephen Ting, T-Y-N-G, who was a low church Episcopal and Reformed believing Anglican minister in New York City in the 19th century. And I think that you will be blessed by his works, and they have others as well, even from a living conservative Bible-believing Episcopalian named Thomas Garrett Isham, and others. So go to solid-ground-books.com and make your purchases today. Also, I thought our listeners would be very interested to know about a couple of interviews. You should be tuning in every day if you can to the show, but this Thursday, we are going to be blessed with a return guest, Scott Christensen, to discuss his massive new book, What About Evil? A Defense of God's Sovereign Glory. And for those of you who are the first to send in some good questions, good enough to be read on air, that pertain to that subject, you will be blessed if you're one of the the limited number that sent in questions early enough, you'll receive a free copy of this massive work published by P&R Publishing. Also, on Friday, we are being joined by a first-time guest that may also be particularly of interest to our Anglican listeners, Bishop Robert Bierman, who is a bishop in the denomination known as the Reformed Anglican Church. And I am looking forward to that. We have not yet picked out a specific topic, but I'm sure that we will be announcing that in the very near future. And we hope that you listen. Also, folks, if you love the show and you don't want it to disappear, please, I'm urging you, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail, an address will appear on the screen where you can mail a check via snail mail made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. You could also advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you're promoting is at the very least compatible with what we believe. You don't have to believe identically with us here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in order to advertise, but you do need to promoting something that is at the very least compatible with what we believe. So send those emails to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. We certainly could use your advertising dollars. Also, folks, I want you to remember, please don't ever siphon money away from your regular giving that you're accustomed to your own local church where you're a member, in order to give to Iron Trip and Zion Radio. In other words, don't financially punish your own church by giving to us. Also, please don't put your family in financial peril if you're already struggling to survive and make ends meet by giving to Iron Trip and Zion Radio. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for your church and your family. Providing for this radio show is obviously not a command of God. But if you are financially blessed above and beyond your ability to obey those two commands, providing for church and family, and you have extra money and you love the show and you don't want it to disappear, please, I'm urging you to go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and donate as frequently as and as generously as you are able. We are in urgent need of your financial help. We have been hit extremely hard financially by the hysteria going on connected with the pandemic, and it has hurt our listeners, many of our listeners, so badly in their businesses that they have given less amounts and less frequently. There are faithful members of our audience. I don't want to give you the wrong idea. There are some faithful listeners who continue to donate, and some of them even donating more than they ever have. So I don't want to give the impression that everybody has dropped off the face of the earth or is giving less. And I thank God for all of you who continue to give more than I can describe in the English language. But please, if you, it's been a while since you've given, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com and click support. If you've never given, go to ironsharpensironradio.com and click support. And if you've given but you have been blessed enough to give more, go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, I have extensive lists of biblically faithful churches all over the planet Earth, and I may be able to help you find a good, solid church no matter where on the planet you live. I've already helped many people in our audience find good churches, even Anglican churches that are faithful to the Scriptures and adherents of the 39 Articles of Religion. But many different denominations are represented on this list that are biblically faithful. And if you need help finding a church, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line, and I will do my best to help you locate a church near you. That's also the email address to send in a question to Dr. Ashley Null on our subject today, performance identity, the folly of striving to earn God's favor. And that email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, and put your, give us your first name, at least your city and state, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And just going back to Donald Veach's question from Jacksonville, North Carolina, one of the things that strikes me is that we are living in a day and age, even if this current climate that we live in globally is very slow, if ever, to mention the subjects of sin and hell and judgment and damnation, there is still quite a bit of ecumenism with the Church of Rome, to the point where you have denominations and individuals who are parts of denominations that have biblically, have been historically, I should say, been very biblically faithful, who are putting on such a low rung of importance the very issue we are talking about today. They are saying it's not that big of a deal if a church believes that you must and that you can earn God's favor, that you can merit his favor. And isn't this one of the issues that has polluted our modern church, including Episcopalian and Anglican, that there is an overemphasis on an ecumenism with churches that actually deny the gospel?
Well, even in our own ranks of evangelicalism, there is a pervasive movement to make faith the work that unlocks human destiny.
Right.
Chris, if we were in a dark alley at 3 a.m. in the morning and you didn't know me and I told you to fall back, would you?
No, I would not. Probably not even if I did know you. Well, I do know you, so I probably still wouldn't do it if you told me to.
Would it be a lack of willpower?
A lack of willpower that prevents me from falling back, you mean?
Yeah.
I think it would just be a reasonable distrust or caution about why you're asking me to do that.
It's a lack of knowledge, right? Not
yes.
A lack of willpower.
Right.
The reason why faith is a gift is faith is trusting someone, right?
Yes.
And someone has to reveal that they are trustworthy for you to be able to have faith in them. That's one of the insights of the Reformation. Faith is not a work. Faith is a gift that comes from God's self-revelation to us of who he is through his word. But the prosperity gospel makes faith a work, and in fact, the ultimate work by which you unleash spiritual power, not to crucify your flesh, but to indulge it. And that whole assumption of, that's a classic example of earning God's love. And you know what the worst part about prosperity gospel is, besides not actually making you prosperous or being the gospel?
What?
It's a pastoral disaster.
Yeah.
Because if you're struggling, whose fault is it?
It's your fault.
And if you need to get out of the mess, can God help you?
It all relies upon you to have a strong enough faith, according to them.
Yeah. And again, it's the exact opposite of the Reformation. The whole point of the Reformation is to recover Paul's insight into the ministry of Jesus, that it's not about what we do to please God, but what God is pleased to do in, through, and for us. I mean, do you have a Bible handy?
Not at this time. No, I don't.
Okay. Well, then let me read you two Bible verses. May I?
Yes, go ahead.
Philippians 2:12. Therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Doesn't that sound to you like a biblical call to sweat equity?
Huh.
We don't make any progress in the Christian life unless we make good choices, right?
Yes.
And sometimes it's really hard to make those good choices. We have to fight to make those good choices. Because without them, we are not puppets. We're not going to grow. So the emphasis on choice, there is some anchor for that in Scripture, isn't there?
Yes.
But let's read the next verse. What does the next verse say? For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Our willpower and our ability to execute good choices is because God is at work bringing us to that point. Cranmer and the Reformers understood the power of unconditional love. The power of unconditional love is to awaken in the beloved the same longing for union that the one giving the love in the first place has. That when God touches you, he will stir up in you a desire to go close to him. So for Cranmer, a lively faith, it's inconceivable that it will not bear good fruit, because the nature of God's work in our lives is to draw us close to him, and if we come close to him, we'll become like him. I love Mark chapter 1, verses 16 to 18. May I read those to you?
Yes, of course.
As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. And at once they left their nets and followed him. Now, I thought for years when Jesus said, come, follow me, he meant, like he said later on in chapter 8 about follow me, take up your cross, deny yourself, right?
Right.
All the teachings of Jesus, that means to follow him, right?
Yes.
Well, actually, it can't. Why can't it mean that? Jesus hasn't taught them anything yet, right?
Right.
The only thing come follow me in that context can mean is come and hang out with me. Stay in my presence, right? If I go somewhere, you go somewhere. Cling to me is what he's saying. And what happens if they cling to Jesus? They will become fishers of men, right?
That's right.
What's Jesus doing at that moment? Fishing for men, right?
Amen.
So if you hang out with Jesus, Jesus will rub off on you, and you will become like him. The more we encounter the true love of God for us, even though we are unworthy of it, the more we long to return that love in loving gratitude by obedience, service. As Jesus has emptied himself out to us, we long to empty ourselves out to him. Now to do that, we need to crucify the old man, because it will rise up and it will distract us. But Jesus has promised that he will complete the good work he has begun in us. And as we cling, that's Philippians 1:6 and to Philippians 2:13, that he's at work in us, when we struggle, we call out and say, Lord, I am sorely tempted, but you have promised to change me. Lord, your word says, Colossians 2:11-13, that my heart has been circumcised with non-human hands. that you are making me different, and you are drawing out of me a love for you and others. Thomas Beacon, Cranmer's chaplain, wrote a beautiful passage where he basically said, all the fires of hell, as real as they are, could not induce me to serve with my full heart, but recognizing the unconditional love of God given me in Christ, that motivates me to give myself back in return. Therefore, to the Reformers, the idea of grace and unconditional love would somehow be soft on sin is incomprehensible, because it is the key by God's power at work in us to begin to overcome the work of sin in us. Do you want, can I give you the secret to stop sinning?
Go ahead.
How much would you pay me for? How much do you think your listeners, if I auction it off, how much money can I make for your radio station?
Well, obviously, they would have to be regenerate to even care about such an offer. But yeah, a lot of money. If they're really truly followers of Christ and recognize the sin that they have, sure, they'd be offering a lot of money.
The medieval Catholic Church, council culture today, uses condemnation, shame, and fear to try to get people to change.
As in Tetzel.
Sorry?
As in Johann Tetzel.
Yeah. And the law of sin and death at work in our members will always be stronger than our willpower motivated by fear, shame, and condemnation. But the Spirit opening our eyes to how much we are loved and stirring up in us a new love for God and neighbor, that makes the difference. If you want to stop sinning, the simple solution is loving God more, right?
Yeah.
Not fear, not shame, not condemnation. And the only thing that births love is not fear or condemnation or shame. The only thing that births love is being loved. And therefore, the gospel is about proclaiming this transforming power of God's love that gives us the courage to face our shortcomings and to find in Him the answer to the human condition. That in the cross, we get forgiveness and new life. And although we are by no means perfect in this life, we do make progress, and we are perfected in the age to come. But you know, Chris, a lot of folks think that holiness is walking in greater victory over sin. And you know what? I don't think that's true. You know why?
Why?
Because God is so loving and gracious. He doesn't point out all 25,000 of our sins. As we do begin to make progress in the Christian life and grow and change, and habits get broken off and new life appears, as we get out of the foothills, then God begins to show us a little bit more that we haven't seen before. And sometimes he even gets to show us the Alps. Because you know, Chris, you have to grow closer to God to recognize how much unlike God you are. So every increasing sanctification entails not only progress against sin's work in our lives, but a deepening realization of how miswired we are and how gracious God has been to work with us and use us and continue to change us throughout our lifetimes, a work that is only completed when Christ comes back.
Amen. And before we go to our final break, which will be coming up in a few minutes, I'll allow Donald's, one of his many questions, another one of his many questions, and this will be the final one for today's interview, because we could, as I said, fill a month's worth of programming with his questions. Donald asks, can you list the top five theological seminaries for young men and why for each? Now, I think that's an enormous task to list five biblically sound theological seminaries in this day and age. I don't know if I could list five. I might be able to list five, but I don't think I could list too many more than that.
May I duck that question, because there are different seminaries for different emphases, and I'm sure that you have a variety of listeners for whom in their tradition what's important is X, but for someone else's denomination it would be Y, and I'm not sure that would be a fruitful line of inquiry.
Okay, well, I could pass on Donald's questions to you, and if you have the time to communicate with him more privately over a question like that, perhaps you can do that. We have, in fact, I'll go ahead, I'm sorry.
If he's talking about Anglican seminaries.
I'm assuming he is, since he is an Anglican.
Yeah, that, if you're looking for a place where biblical authority is rigorously, systematically, and pastorally sensitively expounded, you certainly couldn't do better than Moore College, Sydney.
And I might as well throw out there, since you've already mentioned how highly you value these folks, Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Even though it's not specifically and uniquely Anglican, I'm sure that they have at least welcome Anglican students. And
well, what Joel and I discovered both to our interest because was that we're both children of the English Reformation. What I mean by that is Thomas Cranmer was insistent that the Bible not only told you God's truth, it was also his divine instrument to turn your heart to embrace it and to live it out. And that a transformation of the affections was a part of God's regenerative work in your life and was the fruit, not the grounds, but the fruit of salvation. In other words, we do things for God. We do exhibit good works. We do get new desires, but they're the fruit of being justified. They're not the basis on which God accepts us. Because we are accepted, he then works and changes us. And the Puritan Reformed is their experimental Puritans in the sense that they too believe that the purpose of the word is to renew us from the inside out. That it's not purely, it's head and heart. And that, of course, is what Cranmer was about, and that's what we're about at the Alexandria School of Theology in Egypt. So it was easy to partner because we both believed in biblical authority. We believed in Orthodox doctrine, and we believed in the power of the word to change us from the inside out. And the emphasis is on God changing us from the inside out.
Yes, in fact, Dr. Beakey, president of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary, wrote his doctoral dissertation on assurance because he was originally from a denomination that had become very hyper-Calvinist and had robbed people of any sense of assurance. And I think he attributed, if I'm not mistaken, the English reformers specifically on his being aided to grow in his knowledge and treasuring the precious doctrine of assurance.
Well, for Cranmer, the reason why you need to have justification by faith is that alone gives you assurance of salvation, and assurance of salvation alone can renew your affections. If you're afraid that you might go to heaven, might not go to heaven, then love will not cast out fear, and you will not have love in your heart, only fear. So for him, assurance of salvation was absolutely critical to God's inner work of sanctification.
Amen. And the next station break is seeing the title of the book that was actually based on Dr. Beakey's doctoral dissertation. It's a more popular version of his doctoral dissertation, Assurance of Faith, Calvin, English Puritanism, and the Dutch Second Reformation. That's the full title. But we are going to our final break right now. So if you have a question for Dr. Beakey, we have several of our listeners waiting in line to ask you questions. But if you want to join that line and wait along with them, send in an email quickly because we are going to be out of time before you know it. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com. ChrisArnzen@gmail.com is our email address. So don't go away, God willing. We're going to be right back with more of Dr. Ashley Null right after these messages from our sponsors.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm author Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Dan Lebenick of West Hills Baptist Church in Huntington Station, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Reverend Buzz Taylor, author of God's Lawson, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Dr. William Webster, pastor of Grace Bible Church in Battleground, Washington, founder of the ministry Christian Resources. The NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Ryan Galan of Central Islip Community Church in Central Islip, New York. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Brandon Smith of Trinity Reformed Baptist Church in Jackson, Georgia. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com, that's nasbible.com, to place your order.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our Sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com, and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen, and I just want to let Donald Veach in Jacksonville, North Carolina, know that you have won, by virtue of your question, a free downloadable audio book, the book that we are discussing today, Performance Identity, The Folly of Striving to Earn God's Favor, by our guest, Dr. Ashley Null. And if you want to find out more about Anglican House Publishers, who has provided these free downloads that we're offering to a limited number of listeners today, you can go to AnglicanHousePublishers.org, AnglicanHousePublishers.org. But you don't need to go to them for the free download. They've already given us the codes that you will need, those who win these downloadable books, in order to get the free download. So we already have your email address, so we'll be emailing that code to you, God willing, momentarily. We have an anonymous listener from the Republic of Ireland who says, "I was formerly a member of a church that in many ways was biblically sound, other than the fact that it was not theologically reformed. But it acted very much in many ways like a cult in the legalism and also the harsh way they dealt with individuals such as myself, who was the victim of spousal abuse. I am a woman, and they dealt with me as if all of the physical and emotional and mental and spiritual abuse I received were due to things that were my own fault. What do you have to say to encourage people like me to be perhaps more aware quicker into the situation that we are in a cult, or at least a church that is acting like one, and we should leave perhaps far sooner than I did when the damage was already done?
Well, Anonymous, the first thing is the way you have framed the question, you are in essence encouraging me to condemn you for, quote, not realizing the situation sooner. And I'm sure there must be a longing in you to have realized sooner and gotten out quicker, but I think you need to be kind to yourself and to recognize that when people tell you they're speaking for God and they're giving you conditional affirmation, that as long as you're doing what they tell you and following the rules, that you're right with God and have their approval, and you've probably been attracted to the situation because you haven't had approval before, and they offered a concrete path to get that approval, that it takes time for the Spirit to work in you and to assure you that your worth and value is based on what Jesus has done and not on these specific human beings' manipulative approval for you. But the good news is, rather than concentrating on what you may have missed so you did that you stayed as long as you did, the good news is that God is faithful. That with Jesus, the loss and the pain doesn't get the last word.
Amen. Continue, brother.
And works all things together for good. And the greater your suffering, the deeper the comfort that he will give. And 2 Corinthians chapter 1, 3-5, he promises that the comfort you have received from him will equip you to comfort others. Rather than blaming yourself for not getting out quickly, thank God that in the fullness of time, the Kairos moment came and he strengthened your courage to be able to make a clean break, and that he will use all of that suffering, all of that pain, to make a positive difference, not only in your life, but the life of people he calls you to minister to.
Amen. And Anonymous, since we have your email address, you have also won a free downloadable edition of Performance Identity, The Folly of Striving to Earn God's Favor by Dr. Ashley Null. And this, once again, is compliments of our friends at AnglicanHousePublishers.org. AnglicanHousePublishers.org. We have another person who I will identify by his full name, since he is a pastor who's not asking a personal question, and he's also a pastor of a church that I would heartily recommend to our listeners. Angelo Valley is our listener with a question for you. He is an Orthodox Presbyterian pastor, and he is pastor of Christ Reformed Church of Alexandria, Pennsylvania. And he has a question for you. He apparently knows and loves your ministry and has benefited from it greatly. And he asks, I would love to hear Dr. Null answer, how can confessional Presbyterians best benefit from Archbishop Thomas Cranmer's theology? Perhaps his Eucharistic theology may be a useful place to consider.
Well, that all depends on what confessional Presbyterians think about Calvin's Eucharistic theology.
Yeah, and I think that there is probably a mixture of Zwinglianism and Calvin's view, but I think that there is at least a growing number, and possibly even a majority, that would agree with Calvin's view, but if you could continue.
Well, I would really... Here is the question. What does sanctification consist of? If I know what's right, does that empower me to do what's right? Is pursuing ever pure conceptions of doctrine the essence of sanctification? Or is it the experimental Puritan understanding that the head enables the transformation of the heart? That the truth of the gospel, when it sinks down into the heart, what the heart loves, the will chooses, and the mind justifies. And therefore, what can we from the Reformed tradition cultivate of the sovereign work of God in saving, sanctifying, and renewing our affections so that we don't we don't strive to be like God out of fear or out of conflict, but because it's our, God has so rewired us, it's our genuine love and desire to do so. And communion, again for Cranmer, he puts the four comfortable words right before lift up your hearts, because it's all for him about divine allurement, that the love of God allures you into a new way of living, and you lift up your hearts that Christ's body does not come down to us for the Eucharist, for communion, but actually, by faith, we are lifted up to Christ's body in heaven, and we are united by the Spirit, both by will, including love, and in some kind of corporate mystery. It's a foretaste of that which is to come, so that there is a supernatural dimension to the sacrament, but it's not changing bread and wine. It's changing us. And that, in that sense, communion is the ongoing work of appropriating for us the fullness of the promises we have received in our justification. And that, therefore, we will grow in faith and love with God through his supernatural work in us in the Eucharist. Because what is the hallmark of the Eucharist? It's recognizing that Jesus died for us, and that that love is what inspires us to have loving gratitude as the fuel of our Christian life. And I think that loving gratitude is that, you know, how much Christian despair could be fought off if we gave thanks for what we had rather than bemoaning what we didn't?
And we are actually out of time, brother, and that answer will have to suffice, but it was excellent, whatever you had time to say. And I want to thank all of our listeners. And by the way, Pastor Angelo Valli, you too are receiving a free downloadable copy of the audiobook, Performance Identity, The Folly of Striving to Earn God's Favor by Dr. Ashley Null. Compliments of AnglicanHousePublishers.org. That's AnglicanHousePublishers.org. I want to thank everybody, especially Dr. Null, for being our guest, but also everybody who listened and those who took the time to write. And I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.